Once more unto the breach, dear friend.
Else close the wall up with our English dead.
And here we are, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, with another exciting episode of The Personal Wealth Coach, starring Jeff and
Jake
McClure. I'm about to turn the cats down here a little bit. And let's see, what am I supposed to say next?
Who are we?
Oh, We already said that.
Where are we? No, we know where we are.
Disclaimer.
Disclaimer.
Right. Okay. The Personal Wealth Coach is the name of this radio program.
Oh, there we go. All done.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. And it is also the name of an SEC-registered investment advisory firm in Salado, Texas. And that's not a coincidence.
No.
Because, I mean, like, it is a trademark name, so we couldn't...
Can't be a coincidence.
So it's not a coincidence. And also not by coincidence, Jake, and this is Jeff, Jake and I, are the managing members of the firm and the advising members of that firm, and we're also the guys who are talking on the radio today. That's about as disclosed as I think.
That is also not a coincidence.
Information contained in this radio program has been obtained from sources deemed reliable, but is not guaranteed as to accuracy or completeness. Are we supposed to say that too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If this email is received in error, return it immediately. Nope. That's the wrong one. Okay. Anyway, this is the Personal Wealth Coach. I'm Jeff. The guy over there is Jake. You can tell us apart because I'm wearing plain and he's wearing plaid. We do that a lot.
Yes.
We're both bald. We both have beards, but mine's white. I won't say what color yours is.
So what we do on the radio is we state the obvious.
Right.
Like baldness and plaidness and plainness.
And whatever happens in the economy, which is obviously also pretty obvious to anybody except most people. And the telephone numbers to call in here, if you would like to ask us any questions or actually find out if we know anything or make a comment about the economy or something.
Very fast. They'll call up and say, no, they don't.
Okay, it's 773-1400 if you're in East Bell County. Otherwise,
1-866-597-1400.
Anywhere else within the sound of his voice?
Yes, or your voice.
You always would say my voice, and it's you were the one
who was
saying our voices.
Yeah.
You did? I thought you said my voice.
Well, I would say anywhere else within the sounds of our voices. That's how I generally would say it.
Yeah. Generally. Okay.
Generally.
So.
Who was defeated by General Grant.
No one is just calling. So I guess we could just.
We can just take a nap.
Yeah. Okay.
That'll be fine.
Let's see.
I've got some stuff to talk
you
about.
You do? Yeah. Stocks. Oh, well, we had a question going into this.
Yes.
Why did the stocks fall?
And
Why did the chicken cross the road?
Gravity, but you know.
I think the my favorite joke right now is the one about where the bartender says we don't allow superluminal objects, we don't serve drinks to superluminal objects, and then the tachyon walks into the bar. See, nobody gets that.
I get it. It has to do with cause and effect being reversed and all that good
right.
stuff.
Right, but I think it's really cool.
It's just not funny.
It's not?
No.
Okay. Well,
it's funny to very, very few people.
Maybe I'm a clownfish. I still think, though, and I don't know where it came from, so I quote you on the one that says, you're about the Catholic Church where the Higgs boson walks into the Catholic Church and the priest says, what are you doing here? And the Higgs boson says, without me, you can't have Mass.
Yes.
See, geeks would really appreciate
that.
Yes,
I think that's great.
The rest of the people in the world look at me like I'm really weird.
Well, it's true.
Well, that's maybe because I am really
the
weird.
The geeks look at you that way, too, but you look back the same way because they're really weird as well.
We take turns billing. I love the article in Barron's today, the trader, stocks notch sixth straight monthly gain.
Say that 10 times fast.
Whoa. I mean, I can't even read it 10 times fast. So what happened is, why did the stocks fall? Well, there's a lot of reasons, and they have nothing to do with the economy whatsoever, which is the way things normally work in the stock market. And they did most of their falling in the last minute. And when I read why, I thought it was hilarious. But You'll have to wait because we have a caller on 773-1400.
We've already established as well that what you find hilarious isn't necessarily what the rest of the world does.
Yeah,
so,
but I think it was a really good reason. Okay.
Okay.
Caller on 773-1400. You're on the air with the Personal Wealth Coach. Go ahead.
Okay, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Obama on his radio address today encouraged Congress to pass a law so that everybody that had a mortgage could get it refinanced. Mm-hmm. Why does there have to be a law passed to be able to do that unless they're going for the people that, you know, are not financially astute to do it on their own? I'm going to hang up and listen.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. I will tell you, and it has nothing to do with financial
astuteness. He's going to tell.
Yes, well, I'll tell you. The reason is it has nothing to do with financial astuteness. It has a lot to do with houses being underwater. And by that, I don't mean
in
liquid.
Oklahoma. I just saw,
yes.
I just saw it on TV.
I don't mean from tornadoes or hurricanes. I mean that their mortgage is larger than the value of their house. Now, in the past probably 4 years, there have been lots of movements by the lawmakers to say something along those lines, but we don't want to enforce it on the banks. The major issue here, and I'll start kind of at the back, the banks have risk involved with mortgages. This may sound completely obvious.
The banks have risk involved with mortgages?
Yes. So when they give a mortgage to someone, they are writing a large check with the assumption, the well-educated, hopefully, at this point, assumption that the person will be paying them back over a long period of time. That has not always been the case, and in the last decade or so, we've seen a lot of the reverse of that, where people got mortgages and then did not pay them back. And banks lost a lot of money, and the government had to come in and give lots of money to all the banks, and so on and so forth. What the president was talking about there is something that I don't think has a snowball's chance in.
Well, I think it may.
The Sahara of passing.
I think it may.
You think it has a snowball's
chance in the Sahara? Very frankly,
if you think it's got that much chance.
No, no. If the law is correctly written, if it's well written, let me explain something that, because I actually been reading on this subject. It isn't that the banks, the mortgage companies, don't want to refinance. For example, let's just say you had a house that was worth, that on the market today was worth $100,000 and you have a $120,000 mortgage. The regulators are requiring the banks to have equity in the house before they can finance it. And this is a new financing. So the regulators are preventing the banks at one level from refinancing that $120,000 mortgage. Now, we're talking about somebody who has been paying regularly. We're not talking about deadbeats here, okay? We're talking about people who've been paying regularly. Now, the problem is, even if the bank were released somehow, and under some circumstances they could do that, and they wanted to refinance that loan down to a reasonable interest rate, which lowers the monthly payments and makes the person who is making them more likely to continue to make the payments. The problem is that that loan was sold a long time ago, and there's a lot of investors. I mean, that loan up into lots and lots and lots and lots of mortgage bonds. And if the mortgage company were to respond to you and you want to refinance it, you want to refinance your $120,000 loan, and they lower the interest rate on the refinance, every entity and person who owns one of those bonds can sue the mortgage company for violating the contract.
This is the way the law is written. Basically what it says is, and this is true in any mortgage refinance, if you refinance the mortgage, it's the same as getting a new mortgage. That's what the refinance fees are. It's the same as the closing costs, only without the house being fixed and inspectors and all that stuff. It's the mortgage closing costs.
Right.
Which means that
you got to pay off the old mortgage.
Yeah, the old mortgage gets paid off by someone, and that someone is the new mortgage issuer.
Mm-hmm.
That new mortgage issuer has to take on the entire risk Right now, it's being split up amongst a bunch of people that own little pieces of it. So that mortgage issuer has to take on all of the risk at once. Some banks are willing to do that. Some banks, particularly, for instance, if somebody has a loan with already has a loan with Bank of America. Well, Bank of America doesn't hold the loan. It's spread out amongst a bunch of people. They can get paid more if they think you're a good risk and they refinance it. Then they're getting paid a big chunk like they're making a new mortgage. They've already sold off the old one. They would buy the old one and get an interest rate on it, and they get those closing costs for themselves.
But if they make a loan to you sitting in the house that's worth $100,000 and they make you a $120,000 loan, the regulators will hammer them into the dirt.
Right. The problem with it is, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau actually has issued some statements saying that regulators will not enforce that whole thing about that's the stuff that's happened up till now. They've said you're allowed to refinance things if you think it's a good risk. In fact, we encourage you to refinance houses where the mortgage is $120,000 and the house is only worth $100,000. We encourage you to do it. What the law is, that new law, this is why I don't think it has a chance of passing, would be a mandate that if somebody has good payment history and then they apply for a mortgage from the company or a refinance from the company that's handling their mortgage right now, the company has to do it. That's not going to pass.
It's a mandate? Yeah. I didn't know there was a mandate.
That's not going to pass. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has already gotten, this is that new thing that was out there from the financial regulatory reform.
If it's a mandate, there's no way. That's why I say if it's well written and allows them a safe harbor.
Right. Well, what is
because
not?
Because it's one thing for the computer protection whatever organization to say, we're not going to enforce that law. But you see, you've got the comptroller of the currency, the FDIC, and the Federal Reserve.
Well, this is
the
key point.
Who could all come and hammer this bank for making that loan?
This is the key point, and the act is called, and I've looked this up now, the Home Ownership and Equity Protection Act, or HOEPA. Under HOEPA.
That sounds like a chant.
The law is basically saying that if the bank, which has stricter rules for making these loans, they must be done under certain circumstances, and
it's
the fees.
It's kind of like a VA loan, then.
Sort of, except that it's not covered. It's not insured by the government.
Right.
This is important here. Basically, what they're doing with this new law, which is not in effect, and like I said, I don't think it's going to pass. The new amendment that was put on there says that if the bank charges more than 5% as a closing cost, that's points and fees and stuff in there, that the bank will be fined. So,
that'll be fined?
No, it said fined.
Okay. It's past tense of fine. Used to be fined. Now you can't do
by
it.
By fined, I mean they would have to count twice the payments being made by the homeowner. And I realize we're getting into an esoteric area.
Okay. So
but it amounts
right.
to a fine to the company who's taking on a bunch of risk by...
Well, but if they charge more than 5%. Yeah. Well, that's
for
not
the fees, for the closing fees. Yeah. But if it's a bunch of risk, that's why they would charge that 5%.
Makes sense.
Which, in effect, is the opposite of what the president is trying to do. It would make it harder for people that are underwater to get loans, except that the law would then have a mandate. And basically, that law is never going to pass. My opinion on that law is that it is...
So it's just a political move by the president.
He's trying to get, as Drudge was saying, he's trying to get his groove back. He's trying to be a man of the people again to say, look what I'm doing. I'm pushing a home ownership law that would allow you to take money from the banks. And the banks are going, what? I know we're making money now, but it wasn't that long ago that some laws made us lose a lot of money.
I haven't read the actual law that he's referring to. I was just reading the issues of banks, mortgage companies that wanted to refinance and couldn't.
Well,
there's a lot of that going around, too.
This is one of the keys to how you can expect it to act in Congress. The amendments that have been added to it did not come from Congress. The president has presented the bill to Congress, and now an amendment has been put onto the bill that the president presented to Congress by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, who are persona non grata in the House.
You're right. It ain't going to happen.
Don't like them.
Might pass the Senate, but it'll never get through the House.
Exactly.
I got you. Okay. Well, that's a very complex, like almost everything else that comes out of Washington, it isn't what it appears to be.
It's sausage.
Yeah.
Lots of sausage. In this case, it is gold foil wrapped, uncooked pork.
Okay. Sounds cool. The question was raised by Ed Laughlin as he was leaving, why did stocks drop? Jake mentioned it was gravity.
Yes, if you take any stock certificate and let go of it, unless you're in the space station, you probably will see the stock fall.
Okay, and I think the same is true of livestock, isn't it? I
mean, it is true.
If you hold a cow up in the air and you drop it, it will fall.
Yes, exactly. That's okay. And I have found that to be true every time I have lifted, dropped it. That
good.
It will.
Well, that's called cowing if you push them over. The reason yesterday we had a drop in the market. Now, notably, the article I just pointed out, all the major indices, domestic U.S. indexes or whatever, are up for the month, but they're down for the week. And why did they drop this week? And if you look at all the economic data, there's no indication in the economic data that would really cause this to be a problem. I did find out why the Japanese stock market dropped and why we have been ignoring it, the drop in the Japanese stock market. I'll get to that.
Good,
but apparently, this is what the traders, according to the Wall Street Journal, this is what the traders on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange and other places are saying. A lot of companies out there have investment policy statements, just like we do, for our clients. And they say, here is the ratio of stocks to bonds and so on that we'll hold in order to maintain some degree of safety. So if the market takes a nosedive, which it can do at any moment,
I didn't even
we'll
know it
have
had
enough.
A nose, but if it has a nose, then it can take a nosedive.
That was a metaphorical nose.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
It does definitely run. The market runs, so I guess it has to have a nose. If it's
it could.
Nose running.
Or
yes.
It could be built upside down, too, because its feet smell. But the point is that as we approach the end of this month, a lot of these managers have to report their asset allocations to the people, to everybody, to that is their clients. And they have let the stocks run. In other words, what they've got is in the run-up of the domestic stock market, they have allowed that portion of their portfolio to get outsized because they didn't want to miss the stock rally. Well, I can really appreciate that. And as a result, here comes the end of the month.
Right. Well, not just the end of the month.
And as of the close of business yesterday, what do you mean not the end of the month?
Well, it's not just the end of the month.
It isn't?
No, it is the end of May.
Yes.
You know the whole that there have been headlines all over
selling
May and go away.
Yeah, but on an investment policy statement,
no,
it doesn't.
It's not. That's on. This is a completely different.
That an awful lot of managers came to the in this last few days. Professional money managers who manage for pension funds and so on, whose asset allocations were out of balance, came in and sold stocks. Because the stocks had run up so much, they were now an excessive percentage, and they have to report at the end of the month, and they didn't want to be out of line with their instructions at the end of the month because they'd taken on more risk, so they sold. Now, in other words, there was nothing economic. As a matter of fact, the economic news was good. The housing market looks good. Prices are up. There's an awful lot of things that look good out there.
Yes.
Housing prices and consumer confidence is back up to the level it was in 2007.
That consumer spending slipped, though, and they act like this hit all the – yeah, I'll explain why that's not really a big –
Because the price of gasoline went down.
Exactly. The price of gasoline went down, and we did not have a big warm spell across most of America. In fact, we had some coldness, which means people didn't turn on their air conditionings. So when they seasonally adjust these things, this is the Consumer Department. Sorry, the Commerce
Bureau,
Department.
The Bureau of
it's the Commerce
Economic
Department.
Analysis, isn't it?
It is the BEA in
so
the
it's,
Commerce
it's
Department.
So it's the bureaucrats by definition, right?
Yes, the bureaucrats, they seasonally adjust
I'd
consumer spending.
There.
And so they look back at last May and they say, well, what did we do last May? May was a lot warmer,
yeah,
for one thing. Prices of gasoline was a lot higher.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like consumers aren't spending. What's going on here?
Because
they're not spending on things that they don't need.
They're buying the same amount of gasoline at a lower price, which means they spend less money.
Well, according to the Commerce Department, they should buy more gasoline than they were because it's less expensive. So I believe if we're to comply with the government, what we need is to buy extra capacity in our gas tanks.
Let's all get SUVs.
Yes, that will do it. Let's all go back to SUVs immediately. And
well, yeah, and I got to get this out. We're going to do some commercials, but I got to get this out. The reason the Japanese stock market tanked.
And now it's tanking. There was noses, now dropping and tanking. All of these words.
It went into a tanking nosedive. Okay.
Tanking, dropping, nosedive.
It nosedived into the tank. Okay.
All right.
I could not figure it out. I mean, the economy in Japan has actually gotten started growing again.
It's doing really well, actually, comparatively.
Abenomics over there seems to be working.
Mm-hmm.
Abe is his actual name, but it's ABE, so we think of him as Abe. And
they're doing things should have done about 20 years ago, but
is up like 80% from the beginning of the year. I mean, it's just a huge run-up from the beginning of the year. It's wonderful. Here's the issue. He made an announcement last week,
mm-hmm,
that he wants the parliament there to amend their self-defense bill to enable Japan to do a preemptive strike if they believe they're about to be attacked.
Now, this bill...
And this caused a sell-off in Japan because people were suddenly terrified that he knew something about Korea that they didn't know.
Correct. Yeah, the bill that we're talking about here that exists right now, it's not the one that allows the preemptive strike, but the one that says self-defense, that's been in place since World War II. The reason why the Japanese only go out to places to keep peace instead of to invade, they haven't been our allies in the first Gulf War or the second Gulf War, except once we're already there and doing well, they show up and help keep peace, is because they passed a law for themselves saying that they would only use their military in the event that they were attacked. Because in the past, they've done the opposite a few times, just a couple of times here and there.
Well, it was a peacekeeping force before, too. They wanted to keep
a piece of Hawaii.
Yeah, just a little piece of Midway.
Piece of the world by having the whole piece of the world.
But apparently, some people got spooked by that.
For good reason. If our president said, I think we need to have immediate ability to do preemptive strike. Well, our president
did say
that. They did say that. Well, we did get spooked after the last president's the one that said that.
But apparently, that has nothing to do with economics. And this is, of course, by the way, why. You know, my first thought is if there's something going on in Japan, that is one of the larger economies in the world.
Third largest economy.
That causes their market to drop. It's dropped 14% now.
Well, it's up 80% and dropped 14%. Well, they're still ahead.
Yeah, oh, they're massively ahead. But it's dropped quite a lot. It's a full-fledged correction, theoretically, at this point. I understand, okay, their market dropped. Something, it got ahead of itself, it's a correction. But normally...
Yeah, when it's up 80% in a five-month period.
If their market drops... And then around the world, you see this follow-on market drop that goes on because
happen.
Of, wait a minute, the Japan. No, it happened. It happened in Europe.
Yeah.
As you go around the world, there's this.
It didn't happen here.
You know, as the time zones move west, you see markets dropping because obviously the Japanese know something
they
we
know
don't
something.
Know. And interestingly enough, the Japanese market was dropping because the investors there thought the prime minister knew something they didn't know.
Right. It's all about who knows what and when.
And it gets in the United States, and the United States takes a little dip and then goes up.
Right.
And I thought, whoa, there's something here. I don't know what it is.
Well,
and
the United
it took
States
me a
said,
while to figure out.
Wow.
Now, it basically, the people on the who trade on the New York Stock Exchange looked around and said, ain't no reason for them to be down.
Right.
And there's a lot of opportunity here, so we're going to go up.
So what caused the drop at the end of the month? We spoke about that a bit. Institutional investors
It's called window dressing.
Right, have sold a bit so that they can show that mm-hmm. they've got a good return.
And they'll come back and buy at the beginning of next week.
Right, and you see, you've also see people that are following that silliness called sell in May and go away. And why I say that silliness is because if you... The concept here, let me give the concept before we tell you why it's all silly, is historically, if you look at the stock market, and most of the gains have taken place historically between January and May. And so, well, people go, oh, well, then all I should do is be in the market during January and May. The problem with the statistics is that they are statistics, and that those...
The problem with statistics is that they are statistics.
That should be a quotable line right
there. It is.
There.
I like that.
The whole concept here is that because over the long, long period of time, there have been a few blips that happened between January and May. A few one-time events that took place that caused a great run-up in the market. And if you had missed any one of those years, buy in May and, or sell in May and go away would have negative results over a long period of time. So it basically has nothing to do when I go out and I say I'm going to retire, or I'm going to invest for retirement, or I'm going to start my nest egg, I don't say, well, it's January, I should do it now. I don't say, maybe I'll wait till February. I do it on a regular basis. So does everybody else. Sometimes in the market, you have a big run-up at different times during the year. And sell in May and go away is based on these long-term statistics, long-term averages. And the problem with averages, as we say often, is if you have 1 foot in dry ice and 1 foot in boiling water, your average temperature looks comfortable, but I can guarantee you one thing there.
Probably won't survive the
event. You're not going to be happy.
Just to give you some, speaking of statistics, I like statistics sometimes. The Dow Jones Industrial Average actually fell 208, almost 209 points.
Oh, my.
On Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Ended the week off 187 points, but 1.23%. Everyone's upset about it. But this is interesting. It ended the month of May up 1.86%, making the sixth straight month of gains. That's cool. The Dow has risen in 17 of the past 20 months. That's the longest streak since 1951.
For good reason. We had right. the longest down streak since 1929.
And the NASDAQ, which is a little more volatile, rose almost 4% for the month of May. And the interesting thing is, this is the first May with a positive return since 2009. And I think it kind of surprised a few people.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to sell. There is some truth to this. I'm comfortable. Sell in May. But the market's still going up. Sell in May. Whoa, I only have one day. This is the last day of May. I've got to sell.
Right. And this tends to... I called it silliness a minute ago, and I will say that clearly that I believe it's silliness. It's just as much a silliness as people that use statistics to say if the NFL wins the American Football League team wins the NFL.
It's the NFL. No, if an old National League team.
They're a National
wins.
League.
But it's team, getting harder and harder to figure out which teams
the
are the old.
They're moving around so much. But if a national team wins the Super Bowl, then the market will be good. That's like.
Which one won this year?
I didn't even watch it. It's basically, it's like getting tarot cards out.
Like the Chicago Bulls or something in the Super Bowl?
Flipping a coin and saying, oh, the market's going to be up this year because every time I flip the coin in its head, the market is up. No, that's just silliness. Now, some good news. I've got good news.
Good news?
Good news is that there's a lot of bad news in the area that is underpriced, and a lot of good news in the area that's overpriced. And that sounds really weird, but those of you that have listened to our particular brand of insanity for very long know that when the news media is covering something and saying doom and gloom, that's the time to buy. And when the news media is covering something and saying, by and large, across the spectrum, saying, this is a wonderful thing, it's going to go on forever, that's the time to get away from it quickly. So two headlines. I'm at Yahoo Finance right now on the webpage for Yahoo Finance. One headline from the exchange, June swoon to come.
June swoon to come?
Yeah, they're talking about the stock market, and they're saying, oh, it's bad. This is, can't be good. And same headline, one column to the right. Dig gold? You may be up later this year. So gold is in a bubble by almost any definition.
But it's a really heavy bubble.
It's a heavy bubble.
Yeah.
It's overpriced. When I say by any definition, it's a commodity. Demand for it has dropped. The myth that it would be a preservation asset in the times of down markets was not held on many occasions in the past half a decade. So it's not being used for what it used to be used for. And it's a lot more expensive than it should be based on the cost of getting it out of the ground and the risk of getting it out of the ground. There isn't a whole lot of risk to get it out of the ground comparative to a time, say, 20 years ago. When there's a bubble around, the media tends to say, this is going to go on forever, this is wonderful. And if you think back to the real estate bubble that we had, it's an easy one to remember. If you can go back even to the dot-coms before that, you get this euphoria, this insanity of things are going to be good. And if you think back to the real estate, this is, like I said, easy to remember. When there are TV shows devoted all of a sudden with really high ratings to all you have to do is go out and buy a house and paint it and sell it and you're going to make $50,000
house flipping. Yeah.
That was a major television program. It had a great big budget. Now there's some home improvement type stuff out there now, and they're like, yeah, look at all the work that you have to put into it now to make money. Back then it was paint the kitchen yellow and make $50,000, and people were going, well, why am I not doing that? Gold is in that same boat. Yes, it's in this. There's gold in a yellow boat. We're using lots of metaphors. The Discovery Channel has a series called Gold Rush, and it's followed a group of rank amateurs who went up to Alaska to mine gold, and within 2 years they were making a profit. When rank amateurs can go up and do something that is a fairly skilled profession and make a living at it within 2 years, the prices are too high. This is something that, watching the television show, and I did with a lot of humor involved in my watching of it, they didn't have a geologist, they didn't have an engineer, they didn't do any of the things that should be done when starting a business, and they still made a profit in 2 years. They did every mismanagement possible, and they made a profit in 2 years. The prices are too high. That's a reasonable statement.
Typically, gold does best in an inflationary environment.
Correct.
And we've talked about the reason the gold prices went up dramatically, and they went up dramatically basically because the Chinese are buying gold, and now they're selling gold, so expect them to decline. You know, unless something new happens in China, and by the way, one of the things that came out last week was that the Chinese...
isn't there a saying that
nothing
new ever happens in China?
It could be, but the PMI in China, which is the manufacturing index, dropped, and it's now in it's at below 50. Interesting contradiction, by the way, comparison. The United States, Chicago... the equivalent of the PMI, basically it's the Purchasing Managers Index, which is what PMI is, in Chicago showed a dramatic rise. It's sitting like at 58, which is very impressive. Anything over 50 indicates growth. Basically, the purchasing managers for manufacturing firms, these are the people who buy the raw materials in Chicago, which is pretty much the center, literally the center of the country. indicates that our manufacturing over the next year will be expanding, whereas in China it's shrinking. Why is that important to you? Well, because if you've got shrinking manufacturing and production in China,
they're
going to be selling more gold.
Right. My clothing shrinks in the washing machine, but...
You probably don't wash it in China, though.
No. So gold shouldn't be involved in my laundry.
It might
laundry.
Be. It might be if you're laundering money. But, and this is the other thing. Now, there's an event that happened this month that I think was just announced. It was announced on May 31st. It's about April. A key gauge of inflation, this is from the Wall Street Journal, fell in April to its lowest level on record.
Well, they shouldn't allow gauges to fall. He can break those gauges if they allow those gauges to fall.
This one has the Fed to cushion it.
Okay, so the key measurement of inflation fell.
The core prices, which exclude food and energy, and I know say, well, food at the, you know, but the food and energy can go up and down. For instance, when we had really massive deflation during the Great Depression, the price of food actually rose as a lot of farms went out of business all of a sudden.
There were less people producing food. Right now, the price of beef is at record levels, which you were talking about China here, and I don't want to leave this subject
Of course,
real quick.
That's why they bought pigs.
That's exactly the point. And this is something when...
They're buying Smithfield, however, it needs to be... That's strategic review because hogs are a strategic interest to the United States.
Yes, if we take just a moment, we'll come back to the inflation in just a second. If you think back to the boom in the Japanese economy, the really big boom in the 80s, back when, if you remember the movie Back to the Future, and in the future he's speaking Japanese, and they think the Japanese are taking over. The Japanese came and bought big chunks of real estate at the highest rates ever. When an economy is booming and they have extra money, they tend to buy things without thinking a whole lot about them. And right now they're doing... This is so classic. It's so classic. It is the first...
They're buying the largest pig farming company in the world.
It is the first recognized market trend, is the corn hog cycle.
Mm-hmm. They're buying hogs.
What we recognize in any market trend is when any market commodity is at record high prices, buying there... expecting it to go up further
is what most people do.
It's what most people do. It's probably not the best way to make money. And when we're talking about...
Well, wait a minute. People are complaining about the Fed creating money.
That's true. They are complaining.
So they don't want to make money.
Right. Don't make any money.
Right.
Stop that right now.
Right.
When we talk about the stock market, it isn't a commodity. We talk about something that is a business that's making profits, and they're making profits based on expectations.
The pig business is making a profit.
Well, it's making profits based on... the commodity underlying it.
Because beef is so high.
Just like gold.
Right.
You know, gold is making profits based on the commodity that's underlying it. But it has nothing to do with the value being created, because pork is not any more valuable today than it was 5 years ago. The price of it is up.
I don't know how to break this to you.
What?
But we have 15 minutes left.
And we've got commercials to play.
And we have two sets of commercials
to play. Oh, goodness gracious.
But I did want to say before we leave, we'll have more about this later. In April, year over year, for 1 year, April to April, the underlying core prices, minus fuel and food, rose 1.1%. That's the lowest on record for an annual rise since the Commerce Department has been keeping this record. It even gets better. The overall prices in the United States, which has been kept for a longer period of time, back to the 50s.
What you're talking about, CPI?
It's called the total. It is the CPI, but it is the overall CPI, 0.7%.
Yeah,
that means it.
We're on.
That's within the room. That's in the realm of statistical error, right there.
We're right on the fence between inflation and deflation,
and that could
be a
problem.
It's a scary place to be, but it's also a very comfortable place to be if we stay there. If we go too far in any direction, it's not comfortable.
the good news about that bad news, or whether you consider it bad news or not, is that the chances of the Fed turning off their bond buying program
not going to happen anytime soon.
Is, you know, people were saying
it's
that's
the same snowball sitting out there that
So we've got to break for commercials, and we'll be back on the other side with more of the Personal Wealth Coach. And we're back with the Personal Wealth Coach with the wrong music at the end of the commercials, but that's all right. You live and die. Anyway.
We've got a quick thing to – we've got some more commercials to play in a bit. There's some unrest in the Middle East. So what else is new?
What? Really? Yes. You must be kidding.
Well, what's going on in the Middle East may have some impact on oil prices, but us doing our job here in the United States – us being the royal we, everybody here, drilling and making lots of oil come out of the ground and lots of gas come out of the ground is keeping the prices down, even though Syria is still in a two-year-long civil war, which is spreading
they don't
to
do a lot of oil.
No, but it's spreading to Iraq. May had over 1,000 people killed in. Again, it's going back to that. Internal strife, but it's Shia and Sunnis killing each other because that's what's going on in Syria.
Yeah.
And Turkey is in the middle of a bunch of issues as well. Basically, Syria's instability is just as any... I mean, if Mexico were to increase its violence to the level that's what's going on in Syria, we would definitely have troops on the border, but we would also see some of that violence spread up here, mm-hmm. which we haven't really seen a whole lot of.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned a few moments ago the Chicago area manufacturers. I want to give you some details, as if you really wanted them, on that. The Chicago Business Barometer. Chicago Business Barometer. Which is a manufacturing index, rose to 58.7 in May. In April, it was down. It's up to 58.7. The economists expect 50. That is a very good sign. And I was trying to figure out what was happening. And sure enough, figured it out. Turns out that all this oil activity in the United States is generating, first off, a tremendous amount of need for oil tank cars because we don't have enough pipelines in the right places. And secondly, for the manufacture of lots of stuff, that's an economic term that we use, to support the to support the drilling for oil that's going on. As a matter of fact, there are plenty of oil fields out there that people want to drill in. They've got the leases, and they are having to scramble to find equipment, not necessarily just the drilling equipment, although that is going full tilt, the building of that. Trucks, train cars, all of the equipment that goes with this. We are ramping up in the United States for a boom. I mean, we haven't really hit our stride in this oil exploration and pumping business in the United States. It'll be probably 2016 before we really get up to speed. And the reason is we have to build factories and manufacture a lot of things to get to all the oil we can now get out of the ground.
We know is there. There's lots, and that's not even counting the exploration that is not done yet.
That's exciting to me, folks. Pardon me.
Energy independence
exciting.
It's going to be here. That's not something
we're going to be. We will be. The United States is on track to be the world's largest producer and exporter of oil.
Yes.
Well, isn't that amazing?
That is fantastically
amazing.
We have
the largest. North America in general has the largest identified reserves of oil in the world. We just didn't think we could get to it before because of where it was, and now we have the technology to get to it. Nobody else can even hold a candle to us.
Well, we wouldn't want them to hold candle to that much flammable
stuff.
That would not be good in the
end. We need to break again for commercials. We'll be back on the other side with more of the Personal Wealth Coach. And we're back with more of the Personal Wealth Coach with Jeff and
Jake
McClure. And telephone numbers to call in here in the last couple of minutes of this hour, 773-1400 or
1-866-597-1400.
So what else is going on in the big wide world? Inflation is low here in the United States, almost non-existent. It's actually a little higher in Europe, which is odd. It is a negative number. In Japan,
they are
still in deflation in Japan.
There are well-known economists here in the States that are saying the Fed needs to pump more money into the system because we need a little bit of inflation.
I want to talk about that next hour. I want to discuss it because I had several people discussing their fears of. Interestingly enough, the same people were both afraid of the Fed pumping money, quote, pinting money. Printing money, which, by the way, the Fed cannot print money.
No.
And they were also afraid of what happens when the Fed stops printing money. So that's the same people were, in some cases this week that I spoke with, were afraid of both of those. That's interesting. Actually, I think it's working out pretty well.
There's another real quick piece about digital money. Out there.
Oh, yeah. The federal government shut down one version of it.
Yes. There are basically lots of the companies that were in this business, and there were quite a few, have suddenly started taking on all kinds of anti-money laundering rules. So the fear that bitcoins were going to replace the dollar or things along those lines.
I don't know if that was a fear. I think some people were speculating.
Yes.
I think it's eventually going to get shut down. The state attorneys general.
Yeah, what
it, jumping on it now.
Right. What it amounts to is that if you use these currencies in the United States, you're allowed to use vouchers, you're allowed to use a lot of things, but there's certain bills that can only be paid with United States currency. And if you start trying to pay those bills with this currency, then the Secret Service gets involved and says, "No way, Jose." Something just as a we're almost out of time, but just as a side note, any successful civilization must protect the currency that it runs on. This is important to recognize.
That's even more important than protecting its borders. So,
absolutely.
You are listening to the Personal Wealth Coach. We will be back next hour with more of our inane and insane rattling, and you're certainly welcome to listen. But if you'd like to contact us off the air, we do manage investment portfolios for people who have enough money to make it worthwhile for them and us. You can give us a call locally at 947-1111, or
you can reach us toll-free. It's voicemail waiting at 1-800-914-7526. That's 800-914-PLAN. Or you may email us at jeff@tpwc.com or jake@tpwc.com. You can also go to our webpage, thepersonalwealthcoach.com.
KTM AM. We'll be back next hour.
Fort Hood, proud to broadcast to the largest military post in the free world. News Radio 1400 KTEM.